Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Great fast is a time of intensified spiritual struggle. If we succeed in this spiritual renewal, spiritual struggle, then we certainly will experience great inner joy when resurrection comes. We are often lost to this joy when we see our brothers and sisters who have not committed themselves to fasting struggles and who, out of some indifference in their souls and towards God, remain in their lukewarm state. It is very painful to see, especially when it comes to our closest friends and relatives. And we often ask ourselves, what can I do about this? Today we hear in the gospel, and it gives us an answer to this common question. It says, bring your friend, bring your relative to Christ. If you want to have a more detailed answer, we notice the actions of four friends and the paralyzed man. And in the Gospel of Mark, we find much more detail about the healing of paralyzed men than in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. St. Mark wrote this Gospel according to the memory of St. Peter. And since the healing of the paralyzed man took at St. Peter's house, this was actually an eyewitness testimony. If we examine the motives of the paralyzed friend's behavior, then we see first and most and foremost motive of faith. They believed that Jesus Christ could heal their friend, but faith required action. They did not sit around with their sick friend. They picked him up and carried him to Jesus. And I don't know if you ever touched a paralyzed person, but they are dead weight. To pick him up is already a struggle, and to carry him, it's another. And to carry him up the roof, my goodness, takes a lot of courage, a lot of strength, in body and in mind. They came to the house. They noticed that there were many people and they had no chance of getting to Christ. It was a situation where they could resign and say, it is impossible, let's go home. That situation gave them a great reason to turn around, great excuse. But they didn't give up. But they began to look for a way to get their friend to Jesus. They didn't know the word, we can't, at that time. They replaced that, we can't, with the word, we must. This is the word that God would like to hear from us and from our mouth more often. We must. And this we must, or we have to, gave them an idea to dismantle the roof on the house so they could lower their friend to the bottom. They accomplished their purpose and the Savior healed their friend. These four men sacrificed a lot. They sacrificed their time, their strength to bring the paralyzed to the house. They put a lot of effort into pulling him up the roof. And they even dismantled the roof. It's a lot of work. But they underwent all of this because they saw no other way. Thus unknowingly they underwent a test of their own faith. And they endured because no obstacle could stop them. This guide is so detailed and clear that it will not be difficult to learn it in theory, but more importantly, we can put it into our life, into our practice. If you believe that Jesus Christ has the power to enter the human heart and change it, then we cannot remain inactive in the sight of our brothers and sisters who, out of indifference and perhaps through the wicked habits of sin, have distanced themselves from God and exposed their souls to a great danger. If we decide to bring them to Jesus, we may encounter many difficult obstacles along the way that will require tearing down the roof. If only we had not forgotten at such moments that words "I can't" should be replaced with "I must." This way, we will always find a way to overcome the obstacle that has stood in our ways. And it is a difficult process. And this process requires of us to find our own friend who keeps us in check, who keeps us attentive toward God, towards what is truly necessary in our life. If our friends are pulling us away from God and from church, then what kind of value do they hold? Wouldn't it be better if we had friends who teach us how to pray through their example of prayer, or how to be patient because they are patient, or teach us not to be angry because they know or they overcome the sin of angerness? We should surround ourselves with these kind of friends, quality friends who want themselves and us to grow towards holiness. I like to think of this as quality over quantity. The deeper we go in our spiritual life, the easier it will be to remove the things and people out of our life who hold us at the shallow level of our spiritual life. And if we want to attract people and make our church attractive, we need to become real, real Christians who live out the gospel fully. People nowadays are tired of lukewarmness. They're tired of fake, shallow faith. They are looking for substance. And if we pay attention a little, we can see which church grows and which churches don't grow. The church who turns towards spiritual renewal will grow, will be fruitful. This is a natural growth. Because people who pray, people who want to be with God, are attractive to others. When we start to grow, then we will see that more friends who have the same focus in their life, which is holiness, will join us. And these bonds between these friendships will be unbreakable and become beautiful. So if we think that we find ourselves to be paralyzed, then let us find ourselves friends who can help us on our way towards God. And if we are spiritually working on ourselves or are a little bit more mature spiritually, then let us become friends who carry those who are paralyzed towards God. There is work for everyone. Glory to Jesus Christ.